Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Mori Harav David Tzvi Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Ayin Beis. We left off at the very bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis by the word Me'il on the bottom line. Now, before we go on today, let's just review what happened very quickly at the end of the Brisa yesterday. The Brisa we quoted in yesterday's daf, a Brisa that says, anything that says the word Sheish, that means that each string is wrapped times six. Each string of that garment is made of six ply. So it said, if it says Mashzar, so then it means it's made out of eight. The Me'il, it said, since it's made out of, it's Sheish, but it's doubled over, is made out of 12. The paroches is made out of 24 because it also says sheish by the paroches, but there's four types. Tcheles, agamon, tolas, shani, v'sheish. So that's 24. And the choshen and the ephod are made out of 28 strings. Each thread is 28 strings because it's tcheles, agamon, tolas, shani, and sheish. Plus there is zahav, one strand of gold mixed in with each of the four types. So it's six tchelas and one gold, six argaman and one gold, six tolas shani and one gold, six sheish one gold, for a total of 28. Each thread was made out of 28 strings. That was yesterday. So we began already discussing some of them, and we are up to the Me'il, the very bottom line of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Good morning, Zalman, Dubzi, Reb Avi, Tzvika, Dr. Joe, Jeremy, Chanachanach, and Reb Mordechai. So it says in the Brisa, Me'il Shnei Masar Minalan. How do we know that each string of the Me'il was made out of 12 strings? Each string was made out of 12. Dichsiv, Vasisa es Me'il Ha'efod. Because the Torah says, you shall make the Me'il Ha'efod Kalil Tcheles. And the Gemara is dashning that the word Kalil, at least according to Rashi, take a look at the top Rashi. Kolil tchelos. Kolil is gedil, like gedilim tazalach by the tzitzis. Gedil means each one is doubled over. Kolil is like gedil; it's doubled over. So if it says sheish, which means there's six of them and they're doubled over, it ends up being 12. Says Rashi, kolil gedil ve'ein gedil pachas mishnayim. Fine. So kolil tchelos is gedil. V'yalif, tcheles, tcheles, mi paroches. And we learn the Me'il, gzeira shava, tcheles, tcheles, from the paroches. Malahalon, just like by the paroches, shisha, it says the word sheish by the paroches. So therefore, one of the things we learned that earlier is that whenever it says sheish, it means that there's six of them. Afkan shisha, so to the Me'il is shisha, but it says kliel, which means gedil, so shisha times two is 12, and therefore you have each string being 12, asks the Gemara. V'nelef mishulav v'rimonav. Why are you learning the material of the tcheles, of the Me'il, from the paroches? Shouldn't you learn out the construct of the Me'il from the pomegranates that were draped, that were attached to the bottom of the Me'il? There it also says, Tcheles, Malahalon Shmona, just like by the bell, by the pomegranates on the bottom of the Me'il. These were the bells and pomegranates that would ring every time the Kohen would walk on the bottom of the Me'il. So there it's eight, like we said from the word Mashzar, Afkan Shmona. Maybe just like the bottom of the Me'il was made out of an eight-ply string, so to the Me'il itself should be the eight-ply string. Answers the Gemara, no. Done in Kli, Mikli, it makes more sense to learn out the Me'il from the Paroches. Ve'ein done in Kli, Mitachshit Kli. Doesn't make sense to learn out the Me'il from something that's just an ornament, like the pomegranate-shaped bowls on the bottom of the Me'il. Says the Gemara, what kind of logic is that? Adrabba, done in gufo mi gufo, done in gufo mi alma. Doesn't it make more sense to learn out the actual me'il from something that itself was part of the me'il, the rimonim on the bottom, it's all part of the coat, rather than learn out the me'il from something external like the paroches, that doesn't make sense, says the Gemara. No, you're right. So you're correct. Hainu damrinan, this is what we said, that one of the words sheish is extra. Remember we had yesterday that it says the word sheish five times. L'shar begadim shelo ne'amar sheish. One of the sheish was extra for other begadim where it doesn't say sheish, which is the beggar that doesn't say sheish, the me'il. So the way we learn out that it was times six and then times two for 12 is from that extra word sheish, since it's not written by the me'il. So you're right. We do not learn it. So you're right. We do not learn it from Agzera Shava, from Tchelas Tchelas from the Paroches, or from Tchelas Tchelas from the Rimonim. We learn it out from the extra word Sheish, says the Gemara, Paroches Esrim Varba. So the Gemara says, the fact that the Paroches was made out of each string times 24, six Tchelas, six Tolas Shani, six Argaman, and six linen Sheish, Mashzar, not Mashzar, so it's just four types. Each one is sheish. That's a grand total of 24. Paroches Zorba, Arba de Shisa Shisa. The four types, Tchelas Agamon, Talas, Shanin, Sheish, six by six. Loidina velo Diana. So the Gemara says, this one we have nothing to analyze. It's black on white. It's very, very clear. There's no analysis required. The four types, each one was times six. A grand total of each thread was made out of 24. Loidina velo Diana. We don't have to elaborate. It's very simple. Choshen ve'efod esrim mushmona. We said the choshen and the ephod were made out of a 28 ply string. Tcheles agamon talas shani sheish, each of them six, and mixed in with each six was one thread of gold in each. That's 28 because you had one thread of gold mixed in with the tcheles, one thread of gold mixed in with the agamon, one thread of gold mixed in with the six tolas shani, and one thread of gold mixed in with the six sheish. That's a total of 28. From where do we know that it's 28? Tichsif. Zahav. So, Arba, we have four types. Tchelas agamon talas shani and sheish. Deshisa shisa. Each one of them is made out of six because it says sheish. It says the word sheish. Esrim varba, that's 24. Zahav arba'a. And since there was one thread of gold mixed in with each type, that's an extra four strings. Ha esrim v'tamnia. So that's how we get to the number 28. Ask the Gemara. Ve'ema zahav nami shisha. Right? What do you mean? It says zahav t'chel t'chel. Maybe there should be six of the Zav also, for a grand total of 30. Instead of four strings of gold, there should be six strings of gold. Where do you get this idea that one thing of gold was mixed in with all the other ones? It says Zav, maybe there's just six of gold. And so the Gemara, Rav Acha, Bar Yaakov, Omar Kra, Psilim, Vikitzetz Psilim. It says about the gold, Vikitzetz Psilim, that there were these thin strands of gold, and you would cut them off. Psil is one. Psilim, right, a psil means one doubled over. Psilim is two doubled over. Hare kan arba. Two doubled over means there were a total of four gold strands. That's one answer. That's Rav Acha ben Yaakov's answer. Rav Ashi Omar, a different answer. Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Lasos Pesochat, it says, Vayirakuas Pacheazav, Vikitzates Pesilim, you cut out strands of gold, Lasos Pesochat Chelos, Uvesoch Argaman, Uvesoch Tulas Hashani, Uvesoch Hashesh. So it sounds like the gold was not its own separate min, it was mixed into the Chelos, the Argaman, Tulas Hashani, and the Shesh. It says, Gemara, how are you going to take four strands and mix them into the other 24? Heichi Navid. Navid arba de trey trey. If you would need to make four of two each, havalu tamnia, that would be eight and not six. Navid trey de trey trey. If you'd make two Neved, trey. Let's say you'd make two double strands of gold for four. Utre dechad chad, and then another two that had one. Vasisa, we said earlier, shiyu kol asiyos of shavos. No, there had to be the same amount of gold in each one. So you couldn't have two strands of gold in two of them and one strand of gold in the other two for a total of six. That wouldn't make sense. So therefore, the only way to do it is to have four singles in each of the other four types. Let's continue. Now we're going to learn about other dinim in the Big Day Kahuna. Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda, Hamakareh Big Day Kahuna, Loike. A person who rips one of the Big Day Kahuna, you get 39 lashes. Shene'amar, because it says by the Me'il, V'hayah Pirosho B'socho Safi Yelapiv Saviv, Lo Yikareah. They should not be ripped. Now this is a very big chiddush. Simple pshat in that pasuk is, you needed to have a lip in the Me'il so that it shouldn't rip. Not that there's an isser to rip it. It says you should double it over. V'ayah pirosho besocho safa yelapiv lo yikareas so that it shouldn't rip. Maskla v'acha by Yaakov. V'dil ma'achikam rechmana. Nevedle safa ki heichidil nikra. Ask the Gemara, well, where do you learn out a lav from that? It's telling you to make a lip so that it shouldn't rip. Not that there's a lav. Answer the Gemara, miksiv shelo yikareah. It doesn't say shelo yikareah. It says lo yikareah. Lo yikareah means a lav. Oh, comes along the Achronim and ask, this pasuk is written that you can't rip the me'il. Where do you get from this that you can't rip the ksones, you can't rip the mechnesayim, you can't rip the avnate, you can't rip the mikbas? Well, where do you just see from this that you can't rip anything else? So, some say that the reason for the Yisr is bizayon habagadim. Why are you not allowed to rip the garments? It's a bizayon. It's a bizayon. It's the reason. That's what the Rambam says in Klei Amigdash Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. It's a bizayon to rip them. So it's logical, even though the Torah only writes lo yikareah by the me'il, it's logical to apply it to the shar begadim. That's one answer. Others say that it's from the doubled over of the word lo yikareah. It says lo yikareah twice. It's written also by making of the me'il, and it's also written again by the telling over of in Parshas Pekudei. So it's written both in Parshas Tetzava and then again in Parshas Pekudei. Since we didn't need the second pasuk to teach me about the me'il, so we learn it out on all the other begadim, like im eino inyan le'me'il, tanei inyan le'shar begadim. So it says in the Sefer Siach Yitzchak. Let's continue. Says the Gemara. So there's an Isser Daraisa. You get 39 lashes if you rip one of the Big Day Kahuna. V'amar Rabbi Elazar. Hameziach Choshen Me'ala Ephod. There was a complex way with golden chains and strands of tcheles that the Choshen was attached to the apron, to the Ephod. If you undo that attachment, Hameziach Choshen Me'ala Ephod, if you undo it, the Hameser Bade Aron, or if you remove the poles of the Aron from the Aron, Loke, you violate a law, you get 39 lashes. Shene'emar, V'lo Yizach, the Choshen is not allowed to move from the Ephod, and it says by the poles of the Aron, V'lo Yosuru, Maskel Ravacha Bayakov, V'do Machem Rechmana, Hadkinu, V'avdenu Shapir, Kidei Shelo Yizach, same Kasha. V'lo Yizach, the reason why you need to tighten it with the chains and the crimson and the Tcheles ribbons is so that it should be tight and shouldn't move. Not that if you move it, you get a lav. And Shelo Yosuru, the reason why the poles have to be stuck into the rings tightly is so that the poles shouldn't move. Not that if you move them, you get a lav, says the Gemara. Same answers before. Miksiv shelo yizach, v'shelo yasuru. It says, v'lo yizach lo yasuru. So that's a lav, and not just that it had to be done in that way so that it should move. If you move it, you get a lav. The Gemara now discusses how they placed the poles of the Aron into those rings. Rabbi Yosef b'chin Rami, he asked a contradiction. Ksiv b'tabos Aron yu avadim lo yasu mimenu. They must be in the rings and they can't move. Sounds like the poles would not move at all. Uksiv v'huva es badov b'tabos. It says, and you shall bring the poles into the rings. It doesn't say visamta, place them there. It says vihuva. That sounds like there's a little bit of play. After you put the poles in, you can move them back and forth a little bit. Says Gemara, okay, it said, how do we understand these psukim? Misparkin, they could move a little bit ve'enishmatin, but you couldn't take them out. In other words, the way the poles were made is they were thick on the ends, and the ends, they would fit tight, like right into it. So you had to jam it in a little bit, but they were thinner in the middle. So there was play once they were in there. So on the two ends, they were thicker so that they wouldn't fall off, but there was a little bit of play. So you could move the poles a little bit. Misparkin ve'in nishbatim, but they wouldn't be removed easily because they were thicker on the ends. So when it got to the end, it wouldn't go out. You had to mamish ram it through if you wanted to get it through on the end. But in the middle, there was play. In the Badei Ha'aron, you could move them around a little bit. Tanina mihachi, b'tabos Ha'aron yu abadim, yochal lo yuzazin mimikoman. You might think that they would not move from their place at all. Tamad lomar, v'huva es padav b'taba'os. No, they were brought in, so there was obviously a little bit of room to get them in there, right? Just think of it. There were two rings. How'd they get them in there? Obviously, the first end was thick, so you had to ram it in there, but then there was play. You could move it till you got to the next hole. You had to ram it through the next one, and then there was it was easier to move it in the middle. You might think you could take them off and put them on easily. No, they had to stay in there. Okay, said, how's that possible? They were movable a little bit in the middle, but you couldn't take them off so easily. That the beams in the courtyard of the Mishkan had to be standing up. That you had to put them up. They were all made from individual logs from trees, but you had to stand them up the way the tree would stand up. So the top of the log that was from the top of the tree had to be up, and the bottom of the log from the bottom of the tree had to be down. By the way, this is the source that we learned that all mitzvahs have to be derech kedei lason, right? The lulav and the hadasim and the aravos and the esrog, you have to hold them derech kedei lason. That's why when we make a bracha on the esrog, you put it down, then you flip it up. Because it's your only yotzei the mitzvah once it's derech kedei lason. It's learned out from the poles in the chatzar of the Mishkan. Asi shitim omdim, that it's gotta be derech kedei lason. The lulav's gotta be the way it grows, and each thing to be yotzei the mitzvah's gotta be the way it grows. Davar acher, omdin, a different liman, omdin shema amidin es tzipuyan. Omdin means that the beams of the Mishkan would support the golden cover, that the golden covering of the beams would not be able to stand by itself without the support of the beams themselves, that you had to have like a nail between the beams and the gold to allow the cover to remain on it. It wouldn't stay on by itself. Davar acher, omdin, shema tomar, Ovad Sivron, Ubatel Sikuyan. Maybe you would think that once the beams of the Mishkan were destroyed, we're never going to see them again. Talmud Lomar, Omdin, Omdin La'olam U'La'olamim. That the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, and these walls... these walls are going to be rebuilt. When the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. Wait a second. Really? The beams of the hallway of the Mishkan are going to be rebuilt to the Beis HaMikdash? Those beams weren't in the Beis HaMikdash. What are you talking about? It was only in the Mishkan. What do you mean when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt so the beams that held up the courtyard of the Mishkan are going to be returned? So that's what Rashi says. Take a look at Rashi. Look at the bottom Rashi. Masha Shema Tomer. Look at the second Rashi at the bottom of the page. Shema Tomer. Misha Nignizu Avat Sivan Shelo Yoshuvu Od. Right? So comes along. What do you mean? The Krushim that were in the Mishkan. They were in the Mishkan, but they weren't in the Beis HaMikdash. So how can we say that they're going to be returned when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt? The Achronim ask. They answer that La'asid Lavo, the Mishkan will also be rebuilt and it will stand up on the side of the Beis HaMikdash. Wow, never heard such a thing till this moment. So say the Achronim, that not only is the Beis HaMikdash going to be rebuilt, but their Mishkan is going to be rebuilt and it's going to stand next to it. What a tremendous chiddush. Where'd they pull that one out from? In the Masifteh here quotes that answer in the name of the Achronim. However, the Marsha has a different shot in the Gemara. The Marsha learns, no, Shema Tomar Ovad Sivram, that once they were buried, they're going to rot. You might think that once they're going to rot, so Tamalama Omdin, they're going to last forever, they're not going to rot. The Chiddush is not on the, that the beams that made out of wood that are going to rot, so nevertheless, they're gonna last forever. I don't know, where are they nowadays? Where are the beams of the Mishkan from that thing? But they're not gonna rot. Apparently, they're gonna last forever. I don't know. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, my dechsev is big day hasrad l'shareis bakodesh. Why are the big day kuna referred to as the big day hasrad, the leftover garments? Srud means like it's gonna be left over. Why are they called sarid, that they're going to be left over? Answers the Gemara, to teach you, il male big day kahuna, if not for the atonement achieved by the big day kahuna, loy nishtayu misonem sheyisel sarid apalit, that there would be nothing left over of the Jewish people. The big day kahuna are that which allow us to continue to be left over, because the fact that the Kohanim could do avodah beis hamikdash and get kapara for us, that's what allows us to be left over. Sarid, they're called big day srud, because that's what allows us to continue to exist. That's one answer. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar Devei Rabbi Shimon Tana, it was learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shimon, Begodim shegordino son kibriyas and mikleim. No, it means umisardim but mehen kalim. It means it's the type of garment that they were so good at making them that they would make the ikker garment out of it at one shot. They would weave the garment. It would come right off the loom ready to wear. Umisardim and klum. But there was a little piece of the garment that was left over that was not woven together with the garment. So because of that little bit left over, so it was called srud. Maihi, what's the one piece that was left over? Reish Lakish Amar Elu Maise Machat. This was a piece of the garment that was not woven together with the rest of the garment. It was added on with a needle afterwards. They added it on it wasn't woven, it was sewn on after the garment. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Meisve, big day kuna, enos nasan maise machat, ela maise oreg. Shnever maise oreg, what do you mean? There was no sewing in the big day kuna, it was all a direct weave. So Amar Abaye, loy nitzcha ela lebeis yad shelahem. We're talking about the sleeves. The sleeves, even though the sleeve itself was woven, but how is it attached to the ikker beged? Kedesanya beisiyad shel big deguna nereges b'fnei atzma. It was woven by itself separately. V'nid beges ima beged, and then it was sewn on to the beged umagas at pieces hayad. It would get up to the palm of the hand. Now, how would they make the aron? Betzalel made three arons. Emtza'i shel eitz. The middle level was made out of wood. Tisha, it was nine tfachim. Right? Because ama v'chetzi komaso. An ama is six tfachim. Ama v'chetzi is nine. Pnimi shel zav. Then there was one inside it made out of gold. Shmona, that was eight tfachim. Chitzon asara umashu. The outer one was made out of gold. It was made out of ten tfachim and a little bit. And they placed the middle wooden one inside it. So it's covered over, the wooden one was covered over inside and outside with gold, like the pasuk says, mibayisu michus titzapenu. Why was the outer one 10 tfachim umashu? 9 was keneged the middle one. And the mashahu was to cover the foot, the base of the wooden one, which was the thickness of a mashahu. And the 10th tefach was to cover over the thickness of the kaporas on top of it, which was also a tefach. Says the Gemara, really? Vatanya, didn't we learn in a braisa that that's not true? That the outer one was achadasar umashu, not 10 and a mashu, 11. Answers the Gemara, lokashya. Ha kamanda amar yesh ba'avyo tefach. The opinion that said 11 held that the base of the wooden one was a tefach as well. So you needed 11 tefachim, the outer one, one tefach to cover the thickness of the base of the wooden one, and one tefach to cover the kaporis on top. But the other one was that it was just, although the one who said it was 10 and mashu, it was only that the base was only a mashu. Says the Gemara, my mashu. Why did they need the extra mashahu? Answers the Gemara, zer, that the mashahu went above the thickness of the kapara, and it was like a little bit of a crown. Amar Biyochan, shlosha zerim heim. There were three crowns in the kelim in the Mishkan. Shel mizbeach, vishel aron, vishel shulchan. The mizbeach haktores, the inner mizbeach, the golden mizbeach, had a crown. And the Aron had a crown, and the Shulchan had a crown. Shel Mizbeach Zocha Aron Unatalo. The one on the Mizbeach is a symbol of the Keser Kehuna, and that crown of Kehuna was taken by Aaron and his kids, and they had it forever, all the Kohanim. Shel Shulchan Zocha David Unatalo. The crown on the Shulchan is Merames to the Keser Malchus, which was taken by King David and all of his descendants forever. Shel Aron. The crown on the Aron, Adayin Munachu, it was not given over to any one family. Anyone who wants to learn Torah for all future generations, like me and you, like what we're doing right now, we are crowning ourselves with the Keser Torah. Adayin Munachu, Kol Harotze Likach, Yavo V'yikach. Anybody who wants to come take the crown of Torah is welcome to come study the Torah and take it anytime. It's not limited to one special family. Anyone, Shema Tomar. Pachosu, you might think that the crown of Torah is any less valuable than the crown of Kuna and crown of Malucha. Tamad Lomar, Bi Malachim Yimlochu. The Torah says it is I who crown the kings. It's the crown of Torah that crowns the kings. So it's greater than the crown of kings. The Achronim ask, how do you know it's greater than the crown of Kahuna? We'll leave that out. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan asked the contradiction. Ksiv Zer. It says by the making of the Aron that there was a crown without a yud. Vikarinan Zer. It sounds like Zar. It's written without a Yud, but we read it Zer as if it had a Tzere and a Yud in there. Answers the Gemara. Zacha Nasis Lo Zer. If you learn Torah Lishma, the Torah becomes a crown. Lo Zacha, if you just use it for your own benefit, you're not learning it Lishma, but you're learning it, or let's say you don't learn Lishma, or you're not Mekayim, you learn the Torah, but you're not Mekayim the Torah. Zara Heimenu. Then you're going to lose your Torah and end up forgetting it. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan has a contradiction. Ksiv, v'asisa lecha aron eitz. Uksiv, v'asu aron atzei shitim. V'asisa, you make the aron. Then it says, v'asu. All of Klal Yisrael does it. Mikan l'tamad chacham shebnei iru mitzuyin mitzuvin lasis lo malachto. From here you see that if you have a tamad chacham in your neighborhood, you should go help a man and do his work for him, because Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu Vasisa, but Gans Klai Yisrael helped him out with it. So if there's a Kal V'chomer, if there's a Talmud Chacham in your neighborhood who needs help with something, so all the students of the Talmud Chacham are supposed to help out the Talmud Chacham with whatever he needs done. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to make the Aron, but all of Klai Yisrael made it with him. Mibayis u'michutz titzapenu, cover it with gold inside and outside. Amar Rava, what do we see from the fact that the Aron was the same on the inside as was on the outside? Gold on the inside, gold on the outside. Kol tamid chacham shein tocho kevaro in a tamid chacham. Any tamid chacham whose inside is not the same as his outside is not a legit tamid chacham. You have sometimes tamid chacham, they try to show themselves as tamid chacham on the outside, but on the inside they're not really who they are on the outside. So that's not legit. Abai Vitim and Rabbi Bar Shela says, Nikra Nisav. He's even called somebody disgusting. Shenemar Pasuk in Eov, Afki Nisav V'ne'eloch, Ish Shose Kamayim Avla. Someone who just drinks the water of Torah for his own benefits, or he does Avel, but he really does Averis. So on the outside, he's trying to make himself look frum, so he is disgusted. Amar Bishmo Ban Chanin, Amar Yonasan, my dechsev, lama zemechir biyad ksil liknos chachma v'leiv ayin, his heart is not in it. Oylem l'sonim shaldini chachamim, she'oskim b'tor v'im ben yir ha-shamayim. Woe is it to a Talmud, it says Sonein Shel Talmid Chacham, but it really means it's just a euphemistic way of saying the Talmud Chacham himself. Woe is to the Talmud Chacham himself that he's Osek B'Torah, but he has no lave. His lave is not in it. He doesn't have Yiras Shamayim. He learns Torah, but he doesn't have Yiras Shamayim. So it's going to be very, very bad for him. Machruz Rabbiane, Chaval al de Lesle Darta Vitala Darta Oven. Woe is to the person who does not have a chatzer, but he makes a gate for the chatzer. If you don't have Yiras Shamayim, what's all the Torah learning going to do for you? It means that you have a gate to get into the chatzer, because the whole goal of Torah study is Yiras Shamayim. But if you don't have any Yiras Shamayim, so all the Torah study in the world isn't going to help you. It's like you built a gate to get to somewhere, right? Rachmana Limabai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants all the Torah learning to get us somewhere, to a relationship with him. And if you don't have Yiras Shamayim, if the Torah is just an intellectual endeavor for you, it's like you have the gate, but you don't have what you don't have the chatzer to get into the gate. That you're using the gate to get into. Amalu Rav L'Rabbanan, B'matusa Minaychu, please, lo tirtun tarte gehenim. Don't inherit two gehenims. If you're going to study Torah and you're not going to be mekayim it the right way, you're going to get two gehenims. One of them is in your own life. You're not going to have a pleasureful life because you're going to spend the whole time studying Torah. But the Torah is going to be meaningless because even in the next world, it's going to be worthless to you. So you're going to get two gehenims. Why does the Torah say some? It should say it's Moshe taught it, limed. Zocha nasis lo sam chayim. If you're zocha, the Torah is an elixir of life. Elixir. Okay, you get the fancy words when you hang with Kamenetsky. The Torah becomes a medicine, a potion, a life-giving potion, an elixir. I don't know. I don't know what an elixir is, but I've seen it used in this context. It's a drug, right? A drug of life. Zacha naslo, it'll be a drug that'll bring you life. Loi zacha naslo sam misa. If you're not zaycha, the Torah can be for you a drug, an agent of death. Because the Torah is what heals the nefesh. And just like by medicines, if a sick person takes the medicine the way the doctor tells him to, he's going to get better. But if the sick person says, I don't need the doctor, I'm going to prescribe my own medications, he's going to die by taking the wrong meds. Someone who's tarasa umnaso, you're osik lishma, sama dechaye, delo uman la. But if you're not osik, if you're not an expert in Torah, you're not osik lishma, sama demosa. The Torah itself is going, because it itself is good. You're learning Torah and you're not keeping it. So what's the whole point? It becomes like a Sama Mavis. You're learning about that you're supposed to do a certain thing and then you don't do it. I'm Rabbi Shimon Chameini. Rabbi Yonason Rami. Rabbi Yonason asked a contradiction. Ksiv pigudei Hashem yishor misam chelev. That the Torah brings simcha to a person. Uksiv imrash Hashem tzerufa. That the Torah melds a person and smacks him and beats him into a person only through Yisurim. Zacha, if a person learns Torah Lishma Misam Chaso, the Torah brings him joy. Lo Zacha, Hashem, you either could happen the easy way or the hard way. If you don't learn it Lishma, you don't keep it the right way, so it brings Yisurim upon you. Tzorafto, it brings you Yisurim and brings you Gehenim. Reish Lakasham Migufi Dekran Afka, I can learn that from the Pasuk itself. Imras Hashem Tzerufa. Zacha Tzorfato L'chaim. If you're Zocha, it'll mold you into a long life. Lo Zacha, if you don't use it the right way, Tzorfaso L'misa. It'll mold you into death. Yiras Hashem Torah menes la'ad. Amar b'chinin zeh halomi Torah b'tahara. A person who learns Torah with purity, the Torah will last in them forever. Mayi, what's that? No se isha v'achar kach lomi Torah. If you learn, if you get married first, so your Yetzirah is out the window now because you got married. And now you're learning Torah once you're married, b'kedusha v'tahara. That Torah is going to last in you forever. So the Gemara in Kiddushin says, Rav Shmuel says, you should first get married and then learn. Rabbi Yochanan says, what do you mean? If you have the shibud of Parnassa to support a wife, how are you going to be able to learn? And the Gemara there says, halon v'halahu. One is for the Bnei Bavel and one is for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara that's machlok is Rashi Tos, which is which? Some say the Bnei Bavel have to first get married and the Bnei Eretz Yisrael should learn first, or it's the opposite. But the bottom line is that if a person can learn Torah after he gets married and he doesn't have to worry about Parnassa, so then he should get married first. But if he's going to have to worry about Parnassa once he gets married, then he should learn first and delay his marriage. And the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus writes that that's only a person who's not Yitzro Mizgaber love. But if a person has a big Yetzahari, he should get married earlier. So says the Rambam. Eidus Hashem Nemana, just one more line. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. What's Nemana? Ne'emana hi lahayid belomdea. The Torah itself is going to get up and testify about the people who studied the Torah la'asid lavo. Who is going to be mekayim it? Last line. Maise rokem, maise choshev. Some places it says that it was woven with maise rokem. Others say maise choshev. Amar Rabbi Lazar. Sherok min b'makom shechoshvin. It's all talking about the same thing. First he would make a picture on the paroches, and then he would weave on top of the picture. Tanush and Rabbi Nechemya, no. Rokim is ma'isa machat, that was sewn. Lefikach, parts of echad, there was only one face. Choshev, ma'isa orig, it was woven, lefikach shnei partsufim. It was double-faced. Machlokas, whether this means the two faces on the same side or two faces on the opposite sides, we had this already a couple of times. The Rambam says, and the Ritva say, parts of Echad means that it was only seen on one side, and the second side it was blank. Shnei Partsufa means that it was the same animal, but it could be seen on two opposite sides. Rashi says, no, Shnei Partsufa means it was two different animals on each side. Or the Rambam seems to say Shnei Partsufa means it was the same animal that could be seen on both sides. Rabbosai, we will stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day.